going back to the setting, I was mentioning about U.S. inflation and the number we got going back to Friday, where U.S. inflation has risen to 6.8% from 6.2% on a 0.8% month-on-month increase. And the core inflation rate's risen from 4.6 to 4.9. The headline inflation rate is, the annual rate is now the highest in just on 40 years. So it takes you back to the bad old days of the 1970s inflation. But of course, the Fed is operating entirely differently. You know, back then, we had Paul Volcker, who was really becoming quite aggressive about trying to get inflation under control. The current Fed is entirely dovish about this. And even though it may think about reducing the amount of bond purchases, the Fed funds rate, which is sitting at a real rate of minus 6% plus now, is still highly expansionary. And there's still not a sign yet that the Fed's going to panic about this. And the market accepted that too. So financial markets on Friday, the annual inflation rate, horrific as it was no higher than they expected. So we got rallies in financial markets on the back of that pretty awful CPI reading. Now, the problem is that probably can't last because everything in the United States is set towards higher inflation over time now. You've got a very dovish Fed, as I mentioned, you know, the Fed funds rate's at 0 to 0.25% against an inflation rate of 6.8. On top of that, you know, you've got employment growth running through the place. You've got demand being primed by fiscal policy as well, with huge multi-year spending in train on both physical infrastructure and social infrastructure in the United States. You've got a huge rise in household wealth. You've got accumulated household savings. Everything is primed towards demand and inflation continuing to rise. So even if you get month-on-month inflation increases, which are slightly lower, and bring it back temporarily, at some point over this next year, inflation is going to move up through 7, 8, and probably 9% year-on-year in the US. And it's just trying to work out what's the pain threshold for the Fed before they turn from doves to hawks. And that's facing us at some point next year. This week in the US, we have the November PPI coming out on Tuesday. That will just show that there's still plenty of pipeline pressure on inflation. It's expected to show a month-on-month increase of 0.6%. That will lift the annual inflation rate from 8.6% year-on-year to 9.1% year-on-year. The core PPI, taking out the volatile items, is expected to rise on an annual rate from 6.8% to 7.2%. So you've still got all that pipeline pressure running through. The basic materials right at the leading edge of the producer price index in the United States is now running at 42% year on year. That's a record high, which beats even the highest point of the worst of the inflation in the 1970s and 1980s. So right at the leading edge of the PPI, we've got record-breaking inflation that we've never seen before in the United States. So, and we've got policy still priming this. So, you know, these are the sorts of pressure points that we've got, which runs through the US at this point. Having said that, you know, everything to do with demand, whilst we've got policy so easy, it's going to look good. So, you know, we've got retail sales coming out this week for the month of November. They'll be strong. They'll be up 0.8%. Core retail sales will be up about 1% month on month. That follows 1.7% month on month increases the month before. We have the New York Empire State. We've got the Philadelphia Fed survey. That'll be strong readings too, up sort of in the high 20s to low 30s for the New York Empire State. Very strong reading there. And around 30 for the Philadelphia Fed survey as well. We'll have housing starts and building permits going ballistic, up 3% for housing starts and up about 0.4% for building permits, and we'll have the manufacturing and services sector PMIs coming out at the end of the week, very strong too. We've also got the Fed meeting this week, and this is the one where the Fed's admitted that it can't forecast inflation. It's had it wrong all the way through. It'll put out some more forecasts, and they'll be wrong on the downside. It's admitted that inflation is transitory, But it's also saying, you know, we don't intend to do much about this other than just tapering the bond buying in the very near term. So we'll probably sail past this FOMC meeting with the market still in real good health, with still these pressure points pushing the US economy ahead, with prices moving. But with this horrible warning for 2022 arising now, that at some point the Fed is going to get figures it can't ignore on the inflation front. It's probably going to occur at some point in the first half of next year, and we'll have to do an awful lot of resetting on how high we think interest rates are going to go at that point in the United States. So just watching out for those pressure points that move into next year. But we'll have a happy Christmas and probably a happy beginning of the new year before that. In China last week, we had November exports and imports. And the interesting part is that the trade part of in China is actually coming along quite strongly, because things are being primed everywhere else internationally. So we had November exports, which beat market expectations. They're up by 22%. Market was looking for 17.2% year-on-year there. And imports into China were expected to lift by 19.5% year-on-year. They lifted 31.4% year-on-year. So the trade part of China is looking reasonably good. We also had their November CPI and PPI. The CPI lifted by a full percentage point on an annual basis, well, almost a percentage point, from 1.5% to 2.3%. It will continue to rise over the next few months. Producer price index, which was at 13.5%, there was hope that might dip a fair bit because of the weakness in the Chinese economy, down towards 12.5%. It did dip, but only to 12.9%. So still quite a deal of pressure running through the producer price side in China. This week, we have, latest today, I think, fixed asset investment, industrial production, retail sales out of China. They're all looking, the one that's not is fixed asset investment spending, because obviously the pullback running through the property sector is really hurting there. And yeah, that's a real challenge for China looking ahead. So that one's going to come back from about 6.1% year-on-year to around 5.3%. Industrial production probably lifting a bit to 3.8%, we think, from 3.5%. And retail sales probably staying around 4.9%. So not too bad, those figures coming out of China. Now, out of Australia last week, we had ANZ job ads. We had, they're still flying. They were up for the most recent month by 7.4% after rising 6.2% the month before. So the labour market really is going to be sort of rebounding very, very strongly here over the next couple of months. We also had Toronto Dominion Melbourne Institute Inflation Index, the monthly one. And for the first 2 months of Q4, we've had a 0.2% and a 0.3% increase. December looks, if anything, 0.3 to 0.4. So on the basis of those monthly inflation readings, when we get to our CPI coming up at the end of January for Q4, it's looking around about 0.9 month on month, with underlyings probably around about the 0.8-ish type mark. It's going to be surprisingly high again, and going to force a further upward revision for the RBA in their inflation forecasts on the basis of what those numbers are showing. The other pressure point, of course, is house prices. We had Q3 house prices came out last week from the ABS. They're up 5% quarter on quarter after rising 6.7% the quarter before. The annual rate of change in Australian house prices has now lifted to 21.7% year on year from 16.8% year on year. So obviously a fair bit of pressure through there. We had the RBA decision, and they're not changing things. They too, like the Fed, are admitting that there's a bit more inflation than they're previously forecasting, but they think there's some special factors still in Australia which will help to keep things reasonably well contained. But there's a bit of shifting in the language. There's no longer that adamant talk about interest rates here are going to stay down for a while, and we don't see them rising before 2024. That changed over the course of the last month to 6 weeks. And now, you know, they're starting to indicate that they're going to be, you know, sort of it's going to be more what the data shows. But in their view, you know, they're still going to be a hold things under control. You know, I think that's a bit like the Fed forecast. They're way out of touch with what's actually happening, and they're going to be dragged screaming and kicking at some point to monetary policy change. It won't probably be as early as the Fed next year. But by the second half of 2022, you know, the RBA is going to be doing an awful lot of shifting over the course of next year. And it comes down to the same factor. You've got very easy monetary policy at a time when inflation is actually already starting to rise. We've got fiscal policy, which is going to be pretty expansionary too. This week, later on, we'll have the mid-year economic and financial outlook. Because of the power of the economic recovery, the budget deficits forecast at budget time back in May are going to be reduced somewhat running through those figures. But there's also going to be a confirmation that they'll press ahead with the tax cuts promised way out there in 2024. You know, those will obviously be very, very expansionary at a time when the economy is growing. When those come through, there'll be a bit of pre-election spending that'll come through in announcements, not so much in the MIFO, but heralded there, and probably to be delivered in the budget, which will be in March next year, ahead of an election, which is likely in May. So, you know, basically speaking, you know, policy is still pretty supportive for both demand and also inflation picking up further. Ahead of the MIFO on Thursday, we'll get NAB business conditions and business confidence coming out. They're on Tuesday. They were already strengthening going back the month before. They're at plus 11, plus 21. They'll probably get a little bit stronger. We have December Westpac consumer sentiment. That was up 0.6% in November. Probably rise again for the most recent month. And also on Thursday, we get the November labour force data, and the consensus forecast on employment is that it will rise by a record by a country mile, plus 200,000. This partly rebound effect with both Victoria and New South Wales coming back. That was after employment fell 46,300 the month before. Also, people will be rushing back into the labour force, so there's an expectation that the participation rate will lift from 64.7 to 65.5. It's a big lift in the participation rate, and that just moderates a bit how far the unemployment rate had come down. So it was at 5.2% last month, expected to come down to 5%. We'll wait and see what those figures show, but you know, they could end up even stronger than those expectations. We're going to get a repeat dose of it too in December. The labour force data is going to be tightening up a lot over the course of the next month or two. In Europe last week, we had the December Centix Investor Confidence Survey came out. A bit of a pullback there because of the problems with COVID there in Europe. So back to 13.5 from 18.3. We had revision to Q3 GDP. That slight upward revision to the annual rate of growth in Europe to 3.9% from 3.7% in the earlier versions of the GDP read. And we also had the ZEW Economic Sentiment Survey, which was actually better in December. It went up to 26.8 and 25.9. But Europe slowly finding its feet, starting to show some signs of improving. It doesn't look as if they're going to have massive restrictions to contain COVID over there that was widely feared before. And of course, everywhere, the data we're getting about Omicron is that, if anything, it's actually quite a beneficial variation of COVID, because it doesn't make people particularly sick. It doesn't really land a lot of people in hospital, but it does help to wipe out Delta, and it does give people, if they catch it, the equivalent of a booster dose. So it's more the version of COVID that changes COVID from being a pandemic into something that can become endemic that we live with. There's some changing views around Omicron over the course of the past week, and watching to see whether that continues. This week in Europe, we get some industrial production data, we'll get some purchasing manager reports, we get October trade balance, all of them looking okay on those numbers. And we also get the ECB meeting, where, again, another one of these central banks, which is just staying very dovish whilst inflation takes off. You know, the most recent reading of inflation in Europe is 4.9%. The ECB's target is 4, and they've left the deposit rate there, and will leave it again at this meeting, at minus 0.5%. So this is the nonsense we're living through at the moment. We have central banks in many places who are trying to explain why we've let inflation out of the bag and will continue to prime it. It's way beyond what we forecast. We've lost touch with the forecasts, and certainly has lost touch with anything to do with our targets, but we're leaving interest rates at emergency lows. And it's all a story now going ahead of at what point do these central banks get dragged screaming and kicking from being doves to hawks. And it's going to happen at some point in 2022. But we're going to see some very, very alarming inflation numbers developing through 2022. And the issue is, at what point does the bond market react to that too? At the moment, the bond market is not that fearful of the central banks. I think they're going to progress very, very slowly on this. When that changes, then obviously you get a hell of a lot of upward pressure on short-term yields in particular. At some point in 2022, watching to see when that develops. But we haven't quite been pushed to that point yet. The central banks are still very dovish at this point.